Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to what is, I think, my very favorite Christmas passage. Micah chapter 4, starting in verse 8. And just hold it there for a moment, and we'll pray together. Father, everything is different because your Son took on flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory like the glory of the only begotten of God. We are in awe, Lord, of what you have done through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his soon return. All of these things don't just make things different. They make all things new. We ask that today you would help us to consider the wonder that you lay before us in these mysteries foretold by the prophets, announced by the apostles, and experienced by us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you don't mind if I speak to you a little bit differently this morning. I'm not going to preach in quite the manner that you're accustomed to me preaching. I really just want to share a few thoughts that I've had this past week. I've been thinking a lot about the different ways that people spoke and speak about Jesus in his coming. I think his origins was a problem from the very start. I mean, think of the Magi. They knew from the star that a king was born, so they went right to where a king should be, the capital city. And guess what? He wasn't there. But the Bible students of Jerusalem knew where he was, that he'd be born in Bethlehem. They knew that it would be as the prophets had predicted, where God had indicated. And even though all those things were true, and even though he was right where he should be, in God's plan at that moment, the baby born in Bethlehem was very far from home. I wonder, were there moments that our Lord felt at home here? Think about it. As a baby, the king Herod tried to kill him in Bethlehem. As he ministered, the town folk chased him out of Capernaum. The religious leaders crucified him in Jerusalem. Sometimes when we go through life and we feel like we don't fit in, it might be just because we don't fit in. We're just far from home. And Jesus, everywhere that he went and everything that he did, he was always far from home. Maybe that's why people who didn't fit in felt at home with him. He could take the town outcast and turn her into a royal messenger. He could take the town tax collector, the IRS guy that no one wanted to see, and invite himself over, and the next thing you know, this guy had a house full of friends and could throw a party. There's something about sincere acceptance that allows us to believe what we'd forgotten, but believe once more that there really is a home for us, and maybe we can get there. And the way Jesus welcomed people, not only told them that he was far from home also, but that their home was closer than they had thought. Where did the prophets say he was from? When the King of Glory came and was born as a babe in a manger, he came to a place that was filled with a long story about his birth, even before he was born, and a whole lot of expectations about his coming. Micah had said he would be born in Bethlehem, but Micah also said that he would come from eternity. That didn't make sense. Isaiah said he would grow up in Galilee. Well, that really didn't make sense. Before that, as Jacob prophesied over his son Judah, he said that this one would be long awaited but pre-existent. Well, that definitely doesn't make sense. In our imagination, we could grow all this stuff into being something very glamorous, but didn't have to be. In fact, it could be just the way that the prophets said it would be. When asked where the Messiah would be born, it's recorded in the Talmud that one rabbi said, in Bethlehem's royal palace. Well, you know, as he knew, that there ain't no palace in Bethlehem. You wonder if he said those words with kind of a twinkle in his eye. He's telling something about Micah 4:8 without giving it all away. As for you, tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Notice Micah doesn't quite say what our rabbi in the Talmud says. He doesn't say that the king is going to be born at this tower. He says the king is going to be announced from the tower, and the new reign of the coming king would be told there. That royal palace, or as Micah puts it, the tower of the flock, was the remains of an old watchtower that was, in Jesus' day, a heap of rubble where the shepherds sat and watched over the flocks that were destined for sacrifice in the temple. And it was the royal messengers of heaven that came with the birth announcement to these faithful servants, this band of shepherds. And they left their palace of stones and sheep, and they ran to see what the angels had told them, to see the newborn king in a feed trough, in a barn. It was just as the prophets had said, and not at all like we had expected. Some 30 years later, Jesus would be riding into Jerusalem like a king coming home. And some in the crowd would ask, who is this? And others would respond, this is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. John records some conflict about this. Some were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David in Bethlehem, the village where David was born? So a division arose in the crowd because of him. Sometimes what we think we know about someone keeps us from knowing them. It's kind of popular today. I've heard this recently, and this kind of got me on this bit of a rant. To say that the Bethlehem birth was something that was made up, to cover up the shame of him being born in Galilee, to explain the way those prophecies about him being born in Bethlehem. And these same people will make these claims that as a result, the Gospels contradict each other. They miss the point. And they missed the prophecies. Just like the people did in John 7:52, where some of the Pharisees are arguing with each other, and some of them say, search for yourselves in the scriptures and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Isaiah chapter 9. It's really very easy to cut and paste what we want when we have an axe to grind or an agenda to fill. But I think maybe the Gospels give it to us just exactly right. What some people call contradictions are in fact the whole truth, because Luke emphasizes that he was born in Bethlehem. And Matthew emphasizes that he grew up in Galilee. And John emphasizes that he came from eternity. And Mark presents him as having no beginning at all. And everyone is spot on. Jesus would say of himself, I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. In order to understand Jesus' mission, you first of all have to understand where he came from. And he ain't from round here. He's far from home. I wonder, is there a place that Jesus felt at home? If I had to choose a place, I'd say it was a house in Bethany. Is it a wonder that the one who lived in eternal community with Father and Spirit in heaven now felt at home in the little simple house of three siblings bound together in love, named Mary and Martha and Lazarus? I think that sometimes the place that we feel most comfortable says a lot about who we are. I remember when I first moved from the Caribbean, I moved to Boston. And to say that I was homesick is the understatement of the year. But I remember that I had found that in Alston there was a Jamaican neighborhood. And I would ride the subway up there and get out and walk around. And I'd listen to the sound of the music and the voices and look at gnip seeds on the ground and smell the scent of the cooking from the restaurants just to soak it in so I could have a little bit of a taste to soothe my heart with something that sounded and smelt and looked kind of familiar. Alston spoke to me of my hometown. And I think that in some way that little house in Bethany spoke to Jesus about heaven. Where does your heart feel at home? Probably in our most honest moments, each of us would admit that we feel far from home. Sometimes we think that's a bad thing, that feeling far from home just communicates simply that there's something wrong. And the world will tell you that. But I'll tell you what, I think feeling far from home also tells you that there's something more. Some of us won't be spending Christmas with family, and we wish we were. Some of us will be spending Christmas with family, and we wish we weren't. Both of these things tell us something about the brokenness of this world and our relationships. Sin has broken the relationships that we have. Death has stolen the relationships that we long for. And it's good to admit that we're not at home here. It's honest. It explains a lot. And it gives us hope. If the places that we do feel at home, that give us a taste of home, say something about who we are, then the town makes a difference. Nazareth, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Birmingham, Athens, Georgia. They each one say something very, very different. I wonder, have you ever wondered, where is it that I fit in? Maybe you came through these doors this morning and you felt a welcome here that reminded you that there is a heavenly home and that you long to be with our Lord and host there. That feeling is the welcome of Jesus. It's not something that we can practice or put on. It's Him. And it changes everything for us when we discover that the only place that we are truly at home is with Jesus. You see, when we discover that, we begin to discover that we're comfortable everywhere He brings us. And even though we're very far from home, home is nearer than we realized. That we're only at home when we're in His company and the company of His people and walking in His will and walking in His ways, when we know that we are part of His kingdom, and His kingdom is one for those of us who are far from home. Let's look at Micah 4 and go back to verse 6 and see what Micah writes about the king that's going to be announced from the watchtower of the flock. And Micah writes, in that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather the outcasts, even those I have afflicted, and I'll make them a remnant, and the outcasts a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on forever and ever. That's the kingdom we're talking about. Broken folks made whole. The pierced king who brings healing. The king who came humbly to lift his children from the ash heaps and cause them to sit like princesses and princes. And it's not something that you could do for yourself. The road home is not one that you could build. It wasn't simply unpaved and you could pave it. There was a mountain in the way of that road, a mountain of sin that you could do nothing about. And that king who came lowly, whose bed was a feed trough, his throne would become a cross. He died for your sins so that you could be forgiven, your sins paid for by his death. He died that we might be cleansed, our filth washed away by his blood, and that you might be healed, our rejection lifted by Jesus's welcoming love. He came here to a place far from home so that those of us who trust him will never be far from home again. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we just delight in you. We're stunned once again by the fullness and the riches of every word from your scriptures, and above all of the word who is made flesh and dwelt among us. This morning we look to you as pilgrims and strangers journeying together towards the promised land, and we thank you that because you have gone up with us, we know that our destination and our destiny are certain. But I pray, Lord, for the one who might not know that today, the one who has never laid their life into your hands and said, please, Lord Jesus, make me completely yours. Father, I pray that that one would come home this morning and find the rest that your Son alone can give us. Work in our hearts this morning. Bring healing, cleansing, restoration. We look to you and ask this in Jesus' name.